Broker employment. The listing agreement or buyer representation agreement is an employment contract. Brokers must prove that they were employed to sell the property in order to collect a commission. Even though the broker may have been influential in executing the sale, the broker is not entitled to a commission unless he or she was employed. All listing and buyer representation agreements must be in writing to be enforceable. If a broker sells a property on an oral listing agreement, the broker is considered by the courts to have freely volunteered services. Oral agreements are not enforceable against the client, but are enforceable against the agent. Only a broker may earn a commission, and only a broker may sue to collect a commission. The broker may sue a seller who has defaulted on a listing agreement, or a buyer who has defaulted on a buyer's representation agreement. If a broker seeks to enforce payment of a commission, the following requirements must be satisfied. The broker must have an employment agreement with a promise to pay a commission, signed by the party to be charged. The seller in a listing agreement, or the buyer in a buyer representation agreement. The broker must hold a valid real estate license. The broker must be the procuring cause of the sale. The broker must provide a ready, willing, and qualified buyer who agrees to the sale terms required by the seller. The buyer may not be under duress. The license holder must have informed the purchaser, in writing, to have the abstract examined by an attorney, or the buyer should be furnished with a title policy. Procuring cause of sale. Most litigation over the payment of real estate commissions arises from disputes over who was the procuring cause of sale. The procuring cause of sale is the individual who, through a series of uninterrupted activities or actions, brought about the completion of a contract. The rule is that the broker must perform within the time specified in the contract. Compensation does not depend on the amount of work completed by a competing broker. Instead, it is a question of who has performed the agency to find a ready, willing, and able buyer. The determination of procuring cause is quite tricky and is dependent on the court's interpretation of the circumstances of the transaction and the actions of the parties involved. Agent's duties to customers. Honest dealing. An agent may not deceive, defraud, or otherwise dishonestly deal with a customer. Reasonable care and skill in performance. This means that an agent will be held to the standards of knowledge, expertise, and ethics that are spelled out in the Texas Real Estate License Act. Disclosure of all material facts. The license holder must disclose all facts they know or should reasonably be expected to know that materially affect the value of or desirability of the property. Facts include disclosure of agency, property condition, and environmental hazards. Compensation. Compensation rates and any other means by which sellers and buyers compensate brokers are always negotiable between the parties. Any attempt by a group of brokers to set the rates in their area or between a group of brokerage firms would be considered illegal price fixing. The federal laws that have the most significant impact in this area are the Sherman Antitrust Act and the Clayton Act. The Sherman Antitrust Act is very specific concerning this violation. All commissions are negotiable between the broker and their client and are not set by any board of REALTORS, between competitors, or by TREC. Any attempt to fix prices would be a violation of federal law. Any agreement to limit competition by assigning market areas would also be a violation. Likewise, boycotting discount brokers is also a violation of federal law. Compensation agreement between brokers. The Sitzer-Burnett lawsuit changed the way that listing brokers advertise compensation to other brokers. In the past, the listing broker entered offers of compensation, commission splits, in the MLS for buyers' brokers. To see the lawsuit stirred up fears that buyers' brokers were steering their clients to visit properties with an advertised commission split and avoiding others. In the post-lawsuit marketplace, buyers' brokers still get compensated in the same way for their time and effort, either by the seller, the listing broker, or the buyer. What changed was the way that broker compensation is advertised. MLS members may not advertise on the MLS nor provide a link on the MLS to offers of compensation. Brokers may advertise on their personal websites, social media, and through other marketing channels. Listing brokers who are Texas realtors will use the compensation agreement between brokers, TXR-2402, if they are offering buyer's agent compensation. The listing broker will enter the fees they will pay to the listing broker. Generally, this fee is either a percentage or a flat fee. For example, suppose a listing broker negotiated 4% of the sales price of the listing, offering 2% to the cooperating broker. The listing broker would enter 2% into the form. This agreement informs the buyer's broker of how much the listing broker will offer on the transaction and when it will be paid. Compensation agreement between broker and owner. Texas Realtors, when working with buyers, uses this form when showing for sale by owner FIS, BOW properties to their clients. The form can also be used when a seller is not offering to compensate the buyer's agent. Just because a seller is not offering compensation to the buyer's broker does not mean that the buyer cannot request it. By using the TXR-2401, the buyer's agent is asking the seller to compensate them for procuring a buyer. Remember, if the promise to compensate is not in writing, a court will consider an agent to have volunteered their time and effort for the seller, and the broker cannot enforce payment. This compensation agreement allows the buyer's broker to get the seller's promise to compensate in writing. Generally speaking, this form is used when the broker will represent the prospect, buyer, only. The seller will already have a listing broker or be unrepresented as an FSBO. Agents can also use this three-page form for sales or leases. While the Sitzer-Burnett lawsuit has changed the way realtors approach broker compensation, it has not necessarily changed the way buyer's brokers actually receive compensation. Buyer's brokers can still receive compensation via a percentage of the listing broker's compensation, a fee paid by the buyer directly to the broker, a seller concession to cover the buyer's brokerage fees. It is important to note that buyers can still ask sellers to pay all or a portion of their brokerage fees. It is still common practice to include the request in the buyer's offer to the seller. However, sellers are under no obligation to pay any of the buyer's brokerage fees. Texas Realtors offers its members two versions of the buyer-tenant representation agreement to satisfy the requirement for a written agreement with a buyer or potential buyer. The short form, TXR-1507, and the long form, TXR-1501. TXR developed the short form specifically for buyers who do not want to commit to a long-term agreement, yet want a broker to show them listings. The short form is a condensed version of the long form, which is essentially the same form TXR members have used for years, with a few language changes. However, the short form leaves out many important provisions found only in the long form, and it offers buyers a showing services option. Listing brokers holding open houses do not need written buyer representation agreements with visitors to the open house. However, a buyer's broker taking a buyer to an open house must have a written agreement with that buyer. Did you know? Burnett v. National Association of Realtors, more commonly called the Sitzer-Burnett lawsuit, shook up the real estate industry. Home sellers questioning the system of paying for both the listing and buyer's brokers brought this landmark antitrust class action lawsuit against NAR and other large franchise brokerages. These sellers challenged this practice, claiming that it caused brokers to inflate their commissions artificially. The $1.8 billion lawsuit has cost NAR dearly, reshaping the way they approach broker compensation. How the MLS and Realtor practice has changed post-settlement 1. No more offers of compensation on the MLS. Listing brokers can no longer advertise buyers' broker compensation on the MLS, nor can listing brokers link to information about broker compensation. New field in the MLS for seller concessions toward buyer expenses. MLS members may enter a dollar amount that their seller has agreed to contribute toward buyer expenses, whatever they may be. Brokers must obtain their seller's authorization to post seller concessions in the MLS. Authorization is generally granted in the listing agreement. There is no other field in the MLS for offers of compensation for the buyer's broker, and MLS members may not advertise offers to compensate the buyer's broker on the MLS, nor can they communicate these offers of compensation through the MLS by a link to the offer or in the agent's notes section. Brokers working with buyers must have a written agreement with the buyer before showing them a property. Agents should not even open the door and admit a buyer to tour a property without a written agreement informing the buyer of brokerage services and costs. Buyers and sellers must negotiate separate brokerage agreements, the buyer with the buyer's agent and the seller with the listing agent. Texas realtors may use either the short form or long form version of the TXR, Residential Buyer, Tenant Representation Agreement. Why require a written agreement when working with buyers? Having a written agreement with a buyer before showing them a property informs the consumer of the types of residential brokerage services they can choose to receive and how much those services will cost them. The agreement increases transparency regarding real estate transactions by explaining the broker's and the client's obligations and how and when the broker is compensated.